A miracle occurred at about 6 p.m. on October 13th, Pacific Standard Time. Some of us were watching the television or our computer screens. Others were taking it for granted. But 33 men were safely pulled out of the depths of the earth, surviving the infamous cave-in of that mine in San Jose, Chile. Since August 5th, an inordinate amount of people felt this sense of claustrophobia, this shortness of breath, and an unruly fear as we followed the lives of 33 miners, men of various ages, who had been trapped for almost 2.5 months underneath the depths of the earth, plunged in darkness, buried alive without water, without food, without medicine, without nourishment, without hope. And we were told that the story was bleak. Mothers and wives and children, well, they were told to begin their mourning. And yet 17 days later, Chilean engineers found the men. And all 33 were alive, scared, worried, hungry. But somehow overnight, this unbelievable tale turned from one of misery and despair into an act of God, a story filled with optimism and filled with faith. The miners were alive. And as you know, the story has become much more than just finding the miners, because we're told that those first 2 weeks in the mine, that they were unbearable. But interestingly enough, certain men came forward. Certain men came forward and helped the other miners endure a world in which there was no light, in which there was no contact, in which there was little normalcy. Leaders emerged who worked tirelessly to ensure the survival of their peers. Mario Gomez, the eldest of the miners, he came forward and he organized a small subterranean chapel and he helped his friends cope with trauma through conversation, through dialogue and prayer. Luis Urzua, he came forward and he helped map the path of the miners' rescue hole. This was the same man who took 48 hours of food, the food that was rationed for just 2 days, and helped make sure that the food extended out day by day for those 2 weeks. Yoni Barrios came forward, and he became the miners' impromptu medical administrator. These men, these ordinary people, people just like you or me, they came forward. And although experiencing the reality of an impending death, these men decided that they were needed. They knew that their purpose was clear. What was it that pushed these men forward to find the strength that they needed to lead their friends out of the snares of death and into the freedom of life? You see, one of these miners explained that while he was in the mine, he saw the images of God and of the devil. And he said at that particular moment, God called out to him. And then he came forward. It's clear to so many that Gomez, Urzua, Barrios, and so many other miners heard their callings at those precious moments when the mine caved in. But perhaps more miraculous is not only did these men find their calling, but these men chose to answer. And in doing so, they saved the lives of 33 human beings. So what's a calling? Richard Leider, writer and coach, defines a calling as that inner urge to give your gifts away. He explains that a calling is what we need to do, and a calling is when we choose to do it. And you see, Leider insists that every single person has a calling. Every single person has a caller, someone or something that wants us to stand up and do something with our life and act. And the fact is, each and every one of us is called several times in our life. So the question we have to ask ourselves this morning is not whether or not we're called, but do we take the time to answer when someone's speaking out to us? Think about the perplexing call that takes place between Abraham and God this morning. All of a sudden, after detailed stories about Adam, about the flood, about the Garden of Eden, out of nowhere, with no introduction, God chooses this random man. God picks Abraham and says to him, "Leave everything you've ever known. Leave your family. Leave your home and go to this mysterious land that I will show you." But why Abraham? Why this man and why now? Imagine God doesn't choose Adam, the first human being. God does not even choose Noah, and we know that Noah was considered the most righteous person within his generation. Why was Abraham chosen to lead the Jewish people? It's hard to understand why. Ramban, the medieval commentator, explains that we don't know anything about Abraham. We don't know if he's a good man. We don't know if he's kind or compassionate or faithful. We have no details about his life. He's certainly not considered exceptional. Abraham is a man who has flaws. He's a man just like you or me. And so there's a story in the Midrash that attempts to explain and clarify why Abraham was called by God. Rabbi Yonatan explains that a potter should test his clay pots before selling them to make sure that his products are not items that will break easily. And so in order to do this, a potter must train his eye to tell the difference between a good pot and one that would shatter. And a real potter knows that a good jar, a good pot, is one that won't break easily, even if struck many times. Meaning, God, the ultimate creator, the artist, the inventor, here in our story, the potter, if you will. Well, God throws different challenges and hurdles at each one of us, different trials and tribulations at humans every single day of our lives. And according to the story, God is trying to figure out what it is that we can handle, what it is that will cause us to break. I believe that God continually asks us to raise our eyes. I believe that God constantly screams out loud when we are ignoring our hidden potential. I believe that God consistently questions us as we lose our way. Abraham was just an ordinary human being. Abraham dealt with heartache, with misfortune, with success, with waves of emotion, just like each and every one of us. And yet, what makes Abraham stand out? What makes Abraham the central figure of our faith is the fact that he took the time to listen to that call de mama daka, that small, silent inner voice. But the truth is, we all have those voices. We all have that kol de mama deka sitting within us. And we know that God calls out to each and every one of us every single day. But Abraham, he had the foresight to pick up the phone. He answered his call. How do we hear our calling? When do we hear what we're meant to do in this lifetime? When do we hear what it is we're meant to give back to this world? You see, the Chilean men were thrust into a life or death situation. And instead of retreating back into the earth, a few came forward and realized that without their action, without listening to the call of God, it would mean the end of 33 lives. Many of us hear our calling when we are forced to hear it. But I think if we wait for a situation to be thrust upon us, we may lose the opportunity to see why we are placed here on this earth. I believe it is time to start hearing our calling by seeking our calling. In other words, stop waiting for purpose to find you and start working to find your purpose. On this Shabbat, right here, right now, I ask for you to give yourself a gift. I ask the following questions, and I hope you allow yourself the time to listen how your heart answers. Ask yourself the question, no matter your age, no matter your place in life, what do I want to be when I grow up? When am I the most happy? And when am I not? What is my life's work? What am I born to do? If we strain to hear what it is that God is telling us to do, I believe it is then when we have the ability to step forward and make our lives meant to be. It is then when we seek our purpose, when we choose to be called. We are being called each and every day. And the question is not, are we ready to listen? The question that we have to realize right here and right now, are we ready to answer? The time is now. Answer your call. Shabbat Shalom.